want something more? More meaningful moments, opportunities, deeper relationships, and memorable experiences? Do you want to make a difference? If you said yes, a career in real estate could be the opportunity you're looking for. Guiding people through one of the most important decisions they'll ever make, the purchase or sale of their home, can be both rewarding and lucrative. Exit Realty's revolutionary compensation model, training, and technology provide you with the tools you need to start and build your successful real estate career. Call me today, Robin Collins, R-O-B-Y-N Collins with Red Robin Homes at 843-557-5003. Again, that's 843-557-5003. Or visit me at redrobinhomes.com/joinexit and make your exit today.
So good morning, great morning to you. Hey guys, welcome to another fabulous episode of Exit Strategies Radio Show. Hey, I'm your host, Corwin J. Millett, broker and owner of Exit Realty Low Country Group in beautiful North Charleston, South Carolina. Hey, if this is your first time listening to this show, you, sir or ma'am, are in for a treat. Because our mission here is very simple. That is to empower our community through financial literacy and real estate education, guys. We are legacy building. That is what we do. Y'all have been on an amazing ride with us. And today we are going to continue that fantastic journey through the landscape that is real estate and financial literacy. So today, guys, we have been going to, quote unquote, this, we made this really into a road trip. Okay. So I'm going to frame it in that context for you. We really made this into a road trip, and we've been traveling around the country, meeting, talking with amazing people that are doing amazing things in the real estate and financial space. They're counseling, they're teaching, they're training. Most importantly, overall, they are sharing with you tips, tricks, and other things that they have learned over the years to help you catapult yourself to the next level. So I know we're making this a habit, and I appreciate you indulging me with it. I know I've asked you time and time again, hey, turn breakfast off, get your pen and paper and sit next to this radio and get this good word, get this good information. I know that I've asked you that time and time again. And today I'm going to ask you yet again, because we have none other than Griffin Shermer with Red Roots Capital, and he is going to blow your mind. Griffin, how you doing today?
I'm fantastic, Corwin. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So, Griffin, if you don't mind, high-level overview, who you are, what it is that you do.
So I'm a real estate investor based out of Indianapolis, Indiana. My day job is I run a retail business. So people come in, we build factory homes for them. We build both manufactured and modular homes. And then during the pandemic, I started to expand out a little bit. We started looking at trying to establish more long-term cash flow for us and our businesses. And that's when we got into mobile home parks. So we also redevelop mobile home parks. We go in, we buy highly distressed or abandoned communities, and we infill them with brand new housing. And then that's also catapulted me into, I'm working on some technology on the side for the manufactured housing space.
Wow. So if you don't mind me asking, what got you into this arena? What got you into this space?
Well, it definitely starts at a young age. So my dad's an entrepreneur. My grandpa's an entrepreneur. My grandpa, he sold manufactured housing from 1980 all the way up until the recession that hit in 08. And my dad, he used to install and sell HVAC equipment into manufactured housing communities. So growing up, I was surrounded by entrepreneurship. Then I went to college. And as I was getting ready to exit, my dad was like, hey, I've got this idea. I want to open a retail business. So your grandpa is going to run the day-to-day for a couple of years, and you're going to mentor under him. And eventually with you taking over the business. Yeah, I catapulted into it. I graduated on a Sunday, was in the office working Monday morning. And here we are 5 years later, and I'm now running the business and definitely taking it directions we didn't know we'd go.
Griffin, I know this. Manufactured modular style housing was designed to be or intended to be the next affordable housing, if you will, a number of years ago. That's where it came about because home prices for homes that were built on site were already changing. They were already increasing, going up. And to be able to manage the process, build a home, it was more efficient. It was more economical. It was better suited for some people that were a little bit more transient at the time, because people back then actually mobile home, they actually would move it place to place. So that whole premise, that whole animal is what kind of got us into that space. Now, you say your family has been doing this or been in this arena and space for how long did you say again?
Well, so my grandpa, he sold homes for 25 years before the 08 recession hit. And then my dad, he's been in and out of the industry since the 90s. He turned to doing a lot of community work, installing HVAC for manufactured homes. And he did that for 25 years before he sold that business and then leveraged that sale into to opening the retail store.
Wow. That's a lot of history, man, there with your family, man, for real. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It runs deep. Yep.
So tell us how you're leveraging this. One, you got the history, got the background. How are you leveraging this now to help you grow? And how are you mentoring and helping other people do the same?
Well, so when the pandemic hit, we shut down our retail office for a couple weeks. And at first it seemed, this is like taking a break from work. But we quickly realized like we needed money coming in. And I just didn't want to keep chasing after that sale. You sell a house, you build it, you make some money, you move on to the next one. And that kind of led me into the mobile home park space because I realized, hey, I can buy manufactured housing at wholesale pricing. And I already have the team to build it, assemble it from the ground up. So I realized I wanted to start chasing the cash flow. So whether the market's good or the market's bad, we have money coming in. I then realized through purchasing our first community that, hey, I can actually pay myself to build this and have the cash flow on the other side. So it opened up my eyes to another revenue stream that I could leverage the business we started, build homes, manage a community, pay myself to manage it, have the cash flow on the other side, and make money while we build it. So we're slowly pivoting all the way into almost just building communities, because if we can manage a few hundred home builds a year, it's a pretty sweet deal.
Well, that is awesome, man. You guys work with take on other investors in this process. Am I correct?
We have. Yep. The first deal I did, we leveraged a bank. We actually bought the community for, I don't even know how we managed. We bought 10 acres. It was zoned for 30 houses, had a paved road all the way through it for $170,000. So we cleaned it out. We went to the bank and it appraised for 4 times more than we bought it for. So basically we were able to leverage just the land as like a down payment to fund infilling that whole first community. And then we basically did that on our second one, which we're wrapping up. We're working on a third and a fourth right now. And it's basically the same business model. We've just brought in some other investors to help us acquire it up front.
That's awesome. So you do that like with crowdfunding, or you using that method, or are you just bringing in individual private investors that you're joint venturing with?
Yeah. So my family definitely has a deep network within Bloomington, Indiana, home at IU, as you can see right here. Got to plug the Hoosiers in if I can, but we've tapped into some of our connections in the Bloomington market to help raise some of that funding. So we're just bringing in a couple individuals. We're really not at a spot yet where we're trying to take on a lot of investors. So we haven't gone too crazy, just reaching out to local individuals we know to raise money.
So you getting started, again, you had a different foundation than a lot of people that they may have. My question to you, though, is for someone who doesn't have the similar foundation, you already got all those pieces because you grew up in the family, you grew up in it, quote unquote, it was being done day one for you. How would you advise someone else to maybe explore this space? What advice would you give them on where to seek information to get started?
Well, so I'd been raised in a family of entrepreneurs. It was pretty easy to see that my parents were working hard all the time. They would work outside of normal hours. So that was like a regular thing to me, but I didn't really they didn't teach me about their businesses that they ran. I just knew that we had a nice house. I actually lived in a a modular home for the first 10 years of my life, and I didn't even know it at the time. But I had to go out and seek a lot of information myself. And with the internet today, there's so many resources out there. And I actually got one of my buddies who is also a partner with me at Red Roots Capital. We dove into Bigger Pockets. It was one of the first things that I came across when I started my journey. And we spent a year just digging through the resources through Bigger Pockets. And oh my goodness, with the forums and the books and the people through that that you can network with, you can learn a lot without having to spend a lot of money. And it's not like I was swimming in money coming out of college. I had student loans and all the things my parents built. It's not like they were handing it off to me necessarily. It's just spending the time. I try and go through a book every month if I can, constantly educating myself. And I never liked school. I graduated from a small liberal arts school, and it was painful all the way to the end. And it was funny because when I got to the other side, and I found what I was actually passionate about, it became a lot easier to educate myself. Being passionate about what you want to learn definitely helps too.
So what I heard you say in all of that, Griffin, this, and just FYI, this is something that we talk about on this show very often, quite often. They're always talking about mindsets, what people are willing to do. We all have, and there's this misconception, we have opportunities. We all have opportunities. The opportunities avail themselves, though, to those who are prepared for them or who seek them. And oftentimes we want things to be just given, but we don't seek out those opportunities. The people that are listening to this show, the people that watch this show, our listeners local, our listeners abroad, they're here because they're seeking out additional information and trying to create opportunities. And those people will find success more so than those who don't do any of that because they just want it to be done. But you also talked about something else, which is a passion. You can make money technically and doing almost anything, but you don't make a living and you don't become wealthy until you find your true passion. And that's where you are. You happen to find it on the back end. It was hilarious to me, though, that you went to college. You hate it. You hate it. That was funny to me. You found your passion. You found that thing that, okay, this is why I get up and why what I want to do. So, how many people now, and you probably got to count, but how many homes have you guys done so far?
Well, so we opened in May of 2019. To date, we've probably built somewhere between 100 to 150 homes. And that number is definitely going to grow over the next year because the first couple communities we've done, they're not huge deals. We're doing a 40 pad community, and then I'm working on a 30 pad one, but I've got two deals in the hopper right now that are both 50 pads plus. So over the next couple of years, I expect we'll be averaging probably to 100 to 150 builds a year if we continue to scale at the rate we're going. So
the majority of these homes that you're placing, are they rentals? Are they being purchased by people? What is that looking like?
So I'll tell you, this year, the retail market has definitely slowed down. We all know that interest rates are up right now, and it's definitely affecting even lower income housing. But the communities, we're doing basically 100% rentals in all of our communities. And we're structuring them much like an apartment complex, just as a manufactured housing community. We're offering trash and mowing and general maintenance, and then we're just renting the home like you would an apartment. And because we can build each lot at somewhere between $80 to $90 a square foot, and we're renting them anywhere between $1,000 to $1,300 per unit, it's lucrative.
Yeah, that sounds very lucrative. And so once you have your infrastructure and stuff in, then everything else becomes a lot more manageable overall. So I can completely understand that. And that does sound very lucrative. And you guys focus on what kind of markets and what kind of areas are you looking in?
So today we're just focusing Indiana. We don't usually go into small markets, but if it's the right deal, we will. Our business, we're not necessarily looking for 100 or 200 or 500 pad communities. A lot of the larger conglomerates out there are looking to buy larger communities. But because we're smaller, we're focusing on smaller communities between 15 to 50 pads. So it actually allows us to not, we don't have to be in a giant market. I look at it as if we're in a smaller market, depending on the size of the deal, it's can I fill 15 to 20 rentals in this community? If there's 10,000 people there, you probably can. So we're focused all over Indiana. I'm located in Indianapolis, so this is home base, and there's not anywhere in Indiana we're not willing to look at deals. So we're looking at one that's just north of Indy right now. Where my office is located, we have one that's just south of Bloomington, about 30 minutes south of there. And then I'm working on one over in Columbus, which is about 45 minutes east of Indianapolis.
Okay. All right. It's pretty expansive footprint, but you're targeting certain locales, if that makes any sense. So you're not looking in the, you're looking more rural, more suburban than you are urban as far as your placement on these properties, on these units. I completely get that. Your average pad size, your actual, well, your pad size, if you will, is roughly what? Are you guys placing singles, doubles, and how much space are people getting with these units?
The community down south we're working on, it's all single wides. They're all fully drywalled homes, and they're ranging from roughly 700 square feet to around 1,100 square feet.
Okay.
Two bed, two bath is basically the smallest we'll go, and then three bed, two bath is the larger ones. Mm-hmm. Then in one of our other communities, it's 100% double wides. And we are getting some four-bedroom homes, some three-bedroom homes, and they're ranging from 1,200 square feet to just over 1,600 square feet. So we're doing a little bit of everything. It just depends on the deal. And really, we would look urban if something came to us, but like we're focused on just stuff that nobody wants is really what we're looking for. It definitely narrows down what we're looking at when you look at all the possible manufactured housing communities in Indiana. There's probably less than 100 that are what we're looking for.
Okay. That brings me around, Griffin, to another question. Well, matter of fact, I'm going to call this a statement as I may lead into a question, but you're looking for the stuff off the beaten path that other people may have looked over. Those hidden gems, so to speak, which everybody wants something along that vein. They want something. They want the diamond that was looked over because it's still like it was cold. But I completely get that. What to you makes the right site? What is it that when you see it, you just, okay, that's it. Got to be all over it. Or is there a particular thing?
I love going up to a community where it's a ghost town, where there is abandoned homes everywhere. I like to look at a P&L that's just losing money. And we look for mom and pop owned. There's, if you ask anybody, probably 50% of the manufactured housing industry in the mobile home park space is owned by a mom and pop who originally built it or their parents built it and it spilled over to them. All the deals that I've bought to this point, I've heard almost the same story, which is, hey, my dad built this community in the 60s or the 70s. And they just passed away. And now we own this, that the kids do. And they either don't have an interest or it's hard. If you've never managed a community or you weren't part of it, there's a lot of maintenance that goes into any type of rental or managing a property, which I don't have to tell you that. I know you know that. But we're targeting the highly distressed and the stuff that people are really trying to move on because it's costing them money. And we're able to get it at a discount because of that.
So that makes perfect sense, Griffin. We've had a number of, over the last several months, if not last couple of years, we have a number of guests and we talk about management, storage units and all that stuff. And there's a lot of difference between managing people and just managing stuff. If you got toilets, is one of a reference that a lot of people that we've talked about, when you got toilets and you're likely to have stuff, you got issues.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah. So you got people in toilets and versus just their stuff. So I completely get it. I can imagine. So you guys have a full crew, maintenance and all that stuff, or maintenance person on each site in order to make sure that everything moves and ticks like as opposed to, I would imagine.
Yeah, and that's the perk of owning the retail business. Because we're a home builder from start to finish of a home, I have the team to do it and we have the service on the other side. Plus the perk of putting in the new manufactured housing is they're all warrantied for at least 1 year through the factory. So we're working through a lot of our issues within the first year of a home. And then when you do have the team in place, it definitely makes it a lot easier. It's just everything is getting more expensive. So having warranties in place where you can reimburse things to the factory, most of the large issues we see occur within that first year. And then I'd argue the people management is probably harder than managing the house.
Definitely. So Griffin, look, man, we've quickly reached, quote unquote, that section of the show. We're getting close to our break, if you will. what I'm going to ask, first of all, is how can people get in contact with you? How can people reach out as they explore this space? How can they follow you? What does all that look like?
So probably the two best places to find me is on Bigger Pockets. You can look me up, Griffin Shermer, spelled just how you see it here. And then on TikTok, I've been trying to build a TikTok page that kind of shows us infilling and building our new community. So you can follow me, Griff the Real Estate Dude, on TikTok. Mm-hmm. And then I'm on Facebook and you can find me all over the place. But Bigger Pockets and TikTok's where I'm most popular.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Griffin, I appreciate that. So look, this question, I call this my mic drop question. Now, hindsight is always what it looked like. It's clear because you done been through it. So you can look back at it and be like, oh man, I did this. I could have done this or what have you. So if you were to have one of those moments of what it is that if I knew this, like way back when, I'd be much further along on this journey than where I am currently. Give me one of those moments.
So obviously I graduated and I started in working at the retail business and I was being mentored and learning, and that I started looking at real estate at that point, thinking about buying that first deal. And it took me almost 2 years to pull the trigger on our first deal. And if I look back, you can read any amount of books that you want. It's never going to be enough information for you to buy your first deal. The first one is the hardest. And the first house flip I ever did was just as good as a college education. So I would just encourage people, and looking back, I would have started sooner. I read and I reached out and I talked to everybody you could imagine talking to before I did something. And I think it held me back from, I could be further along today if I would have started sooner.
Interesting you should say that. Speed of SOI, speed of implementation. We also suffer oftentimes from analysis paralysis. We do just what you said. We got to refer to everything, talk to everybody, get everybody's opinion and all that stuff. But it is never right. I don't know if you have children, Griffin. Most people are never really fully prepared for having children, for being a parent. And in turn, we do it. Sometimes we do it by accident. But we're never fully prepared, if you will. No matter how much you plan, there is something that's going to happen that's unexpected or unplanned. That is similar to what this is. Real estate is like that. And I appreciate you sharing that because that's something that we talk about and have talked about more and more on occasion on this show about, let's go, we got to do it. Let's go, we got to take the first step. Let's go, let's make it happen. So I really appreciate that. So Griffin, thank you, my man, for being a part of the Exit Strategies Radio Show family, for being on the show with us today. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Corbin, it was a pleasure.
So for our listeners, guys, look here, y'all know how I feel, y'all know how I say it. I always am going to lay it down to you, and we always going to say it this way. Y'all know what? Look here, I'm going to get you next week with that rhyme, but I'm going to lay it to you this way, which is, I love you, I love you, I love you. We're going to see you guys out there in those streets.